Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we had quite a week. Nobody will believe what is happening in a very, very small community like the city of Benton Harbor. I tell you, we are in the midst of something so incredible that they're trying to figure out a way how they can hem up the Reverend Edward Pink. We don't even know how many lives the Benton Harbor Community Water Council have saved. We have no idea how many lives the Benton Harbor, Reverend Pinkney, and the Benton Harbor Community Water Council have saved, because we blew the whistle on them. We blew the whistle on the governor. We blew the whistle on this mayor. And we blew the whistle on these elected officials. We told the story. We told them the problem. And we went after them like a pit bull. And we were very, very successful because they don't think can do anything. They don't believe black people can do anything in this whole wide world. So one of the things that we have done, we showed them that everybody who lives in a black community is not dumb and stupid. You see, we showed them the work that can be done if we put in the minutes. You only get out of something what you put into it. And we put a lot into this. We put a lot into it. We put so much into this that they decided that they was going to come out. There is no black face in this country who's supposed to stand up to a white face. There is no black face in this whole community or in this whole country that's supposed to stand up to white folks. You as a black person not supposed to blow the whistle on white folks. That's right. When you do that, you are stepping on their toes, because they don't expect black folks to know how to do anything. This is how it runs. See, they think that they are above us. You see, they think that they can do anything they want to black people. They believe that you don't have the intelligence to stand up to them. They would rather, and here's the sad part, would rather see black people suffering than to see them living right. That's right. We have a black city council here. And they're upset. They're riding with the governor because she's white. You see, and we forced her to do something that she could never do. She would have never done. Never. We forced her to go out here and replace all the lead pipes in the city of Benton Harbor. You see, she said she wanted to do it in 18 months. We said she could do it in 6 months, because New Jersey had 22,000 lead pipes. It was done in 18 months. Benton Harbor only had 4,500 lead pipes. So we felt that it could be done in 6 months. So right now, we're at 97% of all the pipes being completed. We're at 97% that being completed in the city of Benton Harbor. And they're angry because black folks started this, engineered this, and forced white folks to do something that they would never do for black folks. And we're not scared. But here's what they did. They sent two detectives to my home. They wanted to know 20 cases of water, the South Bend, which is 50 miles one way, 50 miles back, to sell to some people to get a few dollars. It was the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Never heard of. You know. But I know that they were stupid, especially if they know that you don't have the finance to fight them. You see, that's one of the key factors dealing with white folks, you see, and this corrupt system that they have, you see. This system has been embedded in over 250 years, destroying black folk, and black people do nothing. For reason unknown, they believe that this system is just. I don't know where they get that from. We have to teach our children. See, that's one of the pitfalls that we fall in. That's why now they're shooting up everything, thinking that they have no future, you know, because and that has been embedded in them. But here's what I did. After they came to my home telling me that I have taken 20 cases of water to South Bend, Indiana, and sold it. I don't know what they say I sold it for. I don't really care because this whole mission is guided by God. This is not a man mission. It's about, you know, and they're going to come. So they come after God's real people. And then they told me, because how you know that the water was wrong? You must have tampered with the water. That was even more ridiculous. That was even more. Had one lady say, well, I never took the sample test, you know. Yeah, she didn't take it because she peed in the bottle. And she was afraid that something going to happen. She peed in the samples and gave them to me. Didn't say it. She didn't do it. Okay. I ain't mad at you. You know, we really didn't need that one. But that's how they come after you, you know. So the governor is so mad that she did everything in her power to try to stop the Benton Harbor Community Water Council. She did everything in her power. She did things that were so ridiculous. You know, it just doesn't make sense. But this is how they do. They do this for a reason. They do this because they believe that they can do this and get away with it. This is how it's done. But they ran up on the right person. Because I'm going to fight back. I don't care what they do. And I'm pretty sure they're coming again. They're coming. Because they don't want the Benton Harbor Community Water Council to be looked at in a good sight. You should have all the hell that they sent us through, and we came out standing tall. When the smoke cleared, we were standing, and they hate that. They hate to see black folks doing anything. Black people don't know how to do anything. That's in the sight of the white devil himself. They don't want nobody, especially our children. You see, they don't want our children. He had to do something wrong. It's impossible for someone, a black man, to do anything right and crush us. That's the mentality we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who has no real thoughts about what's going on today in the world. We got to understand, freedom is acquired by conquest, not by gift. It must be pursued constantly and responsibly. Freedom is not an idea located outside of man, nor is it an idea which becomes a myth. It is rather the indispensable condition for the quest for human completion. That's right. Freedom is acquired by conquest, not by gift. You see, we have to remember that. We have to stand up right now for the future of our children. Our children's lives is at stake. Our children's lives is at stake right now. You see, the future of our children, they got our children thinking that other black children are the enemy. You see, they got our children thinking that their parents are the enemy. They got people thinking that black folks are the enemy of themselves. Okay, we do have some sellouts, some real sellouts, which are the enemy of the people. For every one person we got fighting, we got a sellout. Maybe our identical twin, maybe. But for whatever reason, which I would never understand, how someone can sell out the community for these white folks. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And you can't make me believe it, that we're this way. I don't see it. You would rather for your people to suffer from contaminated water than for a black man to stand up and fight for you and win. You rather not even give him kudos for it. You'd rather try to figure out a way how you can get even with him for saving his people. Tell you that we're dealing with as black folks. We're dealing with people who have no respect. Black folks now has no respect for black folks. You see, there's no excuse. And you people who have family, and you know that they're sellouts, you're just as guilty as they are. Your silence means acceptance. And that's what's going on today. Nobody want to talk about this stuff. Nobody want to say nothing. Nobody want to do nothing. I'm afraid if I do something, they're gonna come after you anyway. I'd rather die with my boots on. That's right. You know, as people that has been traumatized for over 450 years, we've been abused, we've been mistreated, we've been tortured, we've been hanged, we've been raped. To this day, it may not look like a people of hope, but God has chosen us. It may appear to you that we have no hope, but I believe God. He didn't put us on this earth. He did not put us on this earth to not to survive. And that's a fact. He did not put us on this earth not to survive. We had over 450 years of abuse, mistreatment, torture, being hanged, raped, men and women. It wasn't just the women being raped. It was men being raped also. You see, but they don't want to tell that. They don't want to say anything about that. But we have to make sure we're doing everything that needs to be done. Not everything that is faced can be changed. But nothing can be changed until it is faced. That's a fact. I believe there is no rules here. The only thing we're trying to do is accomplish something. That's it. No big deal. All we're trying to do is accomplish something. And we got this. There's no rules here. We are the only people in this whole wide world trying to play by the rules. That's right. We are the only people in the whole wide world who try to play by the rules. That's unfortunate. Because there's no rules here. Only thing we're trying to do is accomplish something. We're probably some of the black people is the most hated people by white folks all around the world. But we love in other circles, you see. We have to understand, you know, that the Holocaust of 1619, it's, you know, more than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery. Over 35 million were killed by slave traders, making it the greatest Holocaust in the world. And you never hear them talking about that. You never hear them. White folks will not talk about things like that. You know, that's unfortunate. But I want to switch now and talk about this guy, Michael Hoyt. We have to make sure, you know, I know black people don't want to do nothing. It didn't happen to my child. It didn't happen to my brother. It didn't happen to my cousin. It didn't happen to my niece. I ain't going to do nothing, you know. And that's our history. That's why we're in this compromising position today. This white boy, Michael Hoy, take a good look at him. Take a good look at him. He even got a shirt on that says, I'm my brother keeper. He sure is. If you get in that building, I believe there are dead bodies inside this building. The building was given to him by Jeremiah Wright Church. Jeremiah Wright Church gave him this building. He actually, they say it sold for $1, but he actually gave it to him. It's a $1 million church. In other words, he could not find a single black person in the whole city of Benton Harbor that he can give it to. But they were willing to give it to a predator. A predator, a straight up predator. He attacked a little 10-year-old boy, but his mama got street jealous. She went and broke out all his windows. You see. So I know black people. Black people don't, this is how black people kills black people. They don't really mess with white people. Because they're a bunch of cowards. They really is a bunch of cowards. You see, they will kill you because you're black. And this white predator is living right in this community. He's supposed to drove up on this tough guy and told him, what's up, what's up, what's up? You know, he was spreading that word, you know. And I told him what the guy said, and nothing. They claimed that he went to talk to him, but I don't believe it. I don't believe nothing they said. If I don't see it, I don't believe it, you see. And that's really, really the way it is. If I don't see it, I don't believe it. And that's just how it is. This guy is he's an informant for the sheriff. They put cameras all around this building, free cameras, News 57, all of these people got, you know, this elaborate camera system. And it's not just to protect him, but to pick up news things that's happening. You see, that's what it's for. And also to watch me, because my church is right across from there. But unfortunately, it's unsuspected, but we have to stand up. If we don't stand up, we are hidden for trouble. Black people, black people, black people, we are going to have to change the way we do business. Some of this stuff that's going on today is your fault. Absolutely. Some of the things that's happening today your children is doing is your fault. After something happens, you want to cry like a baby, talking about how good he was, and you know he wasn't no good child. You know he was a horrible child. Call a spade a spade. And stop trying to pretend and lie. God already knows who you are. He knows. He knows exactly who you are. You can't fool him. And he don't even, you can't even try to fool God. You can't do it. Because he already knew that you was going to try to fool him. That's the type of God I want to serve. I want to serve a real God, a living God. I don't want to serve a sun God, a moon God, a Buddhist. I want to serve a living God. And I want him to ordain the mission. Because these devils are out here. They're out here, and they're doing everything in their power. And that's a fact. I want to talk about the sample of the year. It's closing down. We only have about 3 weeks of voting, and it's getting hot, especially here in the city of Benton Harbor and around Detroit and around Chicago. People have been calling, trying to get the logistics of how everything is and what needs to be done to make sure that we're doing, because they want to have a Sambo Award in Chicago next year. They said that they're gonna put out some nominees and have a big dinner and stuff like that. So, which is good. Detroit had it first. They was, I got this idea from Detroit. Ms. Hitchcock, she was the first one that she'd been doing it for over 20 years. And I decided I'm going to do it for the next 20 years myself to make sure that we get all these samples because, believe me, it's a lot of them. But anyway, I want to bring in my first guest, Belinda Parker Brown. She's going to be my first guest today. And I know she got a lot to say, and I want to get an update from her. And I know that I'm going to give her about 15 minutes to tell her story. And then I'm going to bring in Annette, and I want Annette to talk about the days we should not shop or whatever her heart desires. But here's the voting for the Sambo of the Year Award at this time. Here's the voting for the Sambo of the Year at this time. The mayor of Benton Harbor, formerly a Nation of Islam member, a straight-up sellout, a booty kisser. He liked to kiss white booties. You know, he went from Fred Upton to Whitmer, and anybody he's white, you can see him on his knees, you know. And he's the type of guy, he don't take care of his family. He wears suits, and it's, you know, and his children wear hand-me-downs and everything else. You know, it's you know, very, very disappointing. And I can't say nothing about his wife. His wife is sweet as candy, you know. She deserves better, you see. She deserves a lot better than this guy. This guy's a scumball, you know. And he got a little following, too, because they scumballs, too. See, scumballs follow scumballs. Scumballs follow scumbags. See, scumbags, scumballs is a combination of one. But anyway, Marcus is leading with 7,010. He has received 7,000 votes. And his sidekick, Dwayne Cease, his hand is dripping with blood. Every time he pick up a glass of alcohol right now, he leaves a blood print right on it. I don't even see how he can sleep at night. I don't see it. I don't see how this guy could sleep at night. The all the damage he had caused, and he's a nut, he's a scumbag too, and now he's affiliated with the this marijuana place now. I don't know how elected official, a preacher, I guess he's supposed to be a pastor. Anybody, he ain't got nobody in the church but his family. Everybody's just about to left, and nobody want to be bothered with him. Because he's a straight-up scumbag. He preached to the walls. But remember this. The devil got preachers, too. You know, God ain't the only one that got preachers. The devil got his allotment of preachers also. And that's a fact. The devil got his allotment of preachers also. And this scumbag seeks. You know, every time he pick up a glass of alcohol, he leaves blood prints all over it. He used to go to these, what's the name of that place over there on Riverview? He gambles. He would be gambling and peeing on himself all at the same time. And he's supposed to be a pastor of the church. Then he's followed by Commissioner Ron Singleton. Ron Singleton has 6,988 votes. And the way that you can vote, you can send me an email. So that means that I have over 7,000 emails of people who have voted. And it's going to add to my email list. So keep the votes coming. Anyway, Ron Singleton stole the radio station, 105.3, from Charles Kelly. Charles Kelly died, and his wife, Teresa Kelly, was going to take over. But what they did, they bullied her so much that she know that she didn't have to put up with it, and she left, and this guy Ryan then started taking over and selling minutes for his own personal use. He stole 105.3 from the Kelly family. That's right. He also was a police officer. You know, that helped him with his bullying. Because as a police officer, you know how to bully people. So what he did do, he bullied her because she actually came from Detroit. And she didn't feel that she had to put up with this. And he took over the radio station. And he made all this. She's supposed to be a community radio station. Anybody should be able to go on this radio station. But this guy, he stole it from the people. And the only way you can get on, you have to pay him. And you have to pay him X amount. That's why ain't nobody on the station now. You don't have nobody decent on this radio station. Nobody. These are just his friends, people he know. People are going to say good things about him. You see, the difference, I tell the truth. I ain't going to hold you up because you're my friend. That is not going to happen. The truth will stand. The truth don't need no help. The truth do not need any help at all. So we have Marcus, the mayor, with 7,010. We have his riding buddy, Seats. He's a commissioner also. He's a pastor. He's a gambler. He's a drunk. He likes to pee on himself. You know, his hand is dripping with blood. He got 6,995. Then you got Ryan Singleton, the one who stole the radio station, who also retired from the police department as a corporal or something, and receiving lieutenant pay because they worked that out. He's stealing money from the residents of Benton Harbor, Ryan Singleton. Look him up. Look him up. He's stealing money from the city of Benton. Then we have the one and only, my letter seat, who is the mother of Dwayne Seat. She's standing tall. She's doing good. She got 6,970 votes. Then we have the baby snatcher herself, Judge Mayfield. She probably got over $2-3 million in her bank account from snatching black kids. It's one of the biggest business other than the courthouse itself, is big business. And I'm telling you this, it is big, big, big business. You know, Judge Mayfield, she's been snatching kids for years. I don't know because it was exposed in Pennsylvania how they snatch these children from their parents and make money off of them. So it's one of the biggest money-making rackets in the whole country. When they call it Child Protection Service, which is they don't protect any children. Most of the time, the children be molested when they be going into other people's home. Molestation, sex trafficking, all this kind of stuff goes on when you take the baby out of the mother and father home and put them in a stranger house who don't give a rat's butt about him. Then we have our one and only chief of police, Dan McGinnis. Now, if you were going to give out an award for the worst police chief in the whole wide world, this guy will win by landslide. They don't even know how to write up a police report. You're living in a black city with 89% of the people are black, and you have a police force that's 98% white. Where in America do that occur? You will never have a white city with 98% of the officers black. You'll never have that. That will never, 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 never happen. It'll never happen. They don't solve any crimes at all. They have no record of solving any crimes. And then they don't know how to investigate in the first place. But anyway, let me go this. Judge Mayfield got 6,950. Chief McGinnis got 6,945. So here's the total. I'm gonna move on to bring in Linda Parker Brown. Then I'm gonna go to Annette, and I'm gonna make sure that everybody gets a chance to speak and do what we need to do. The mayor, Marcus, he go by he don't even know his name. His name is Singer, but he goes under the title Muhammad, because I'm pretty sure they kicked him out of the Nation of Islam. He got 7,010. Then you have Dwayne Seek, the drunk preacher, commissioner, 6,995. Then you got Ron Singer, the one who stole, Ron Singer, who stole the radio station from the people, and then receiving lieutenant pay when he retired. He was a corporal or something, stealing money from the community. He got 6,986. Then we have my letter seats, the mother of the Wayne seats. She's at 6,970. Then you have Judge Mayville at 6,950. And then you have Chief Dan McGinnis at 6,945. Listen, the voting will end. It will. We're securing Will Smith to give these people the Sambo of the Year Award. It's going to be held in December, and we're working hard to find a date that Will and Jada can come here, and even if we have to go to their home with the cameras and everything, we're going to make sure that these individuals get their award because they deserve it. A Sambo is a Sambo. It's the worst thing a person can be is a Sambo in this community. This is why we are in this compromising position, because there are so many Sambos. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend Belinda Parker Brown. Belinda Parker Brown, Reverend Pinckney here. Talk to me. Talk to me, Belinda Parker Brown. Tell me what's going on.
Hey, Pastor Pinckney.
How you
can
doing,
you hear
young
me?
Lady? I can hear you well. I can hear you well.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm enjoying the show, Pastor Pinckney. I am enjoying the show. But what I like what you said mostly is that these people, you cannot determine how low they will go when they've been put in a box, and that they have been exposed with their corrupt, wicked, evil injustice. So I'm glad you calling out those Sambos, because that's where we have to start. We have to start with people that look like us, that's been handpicked, paid, and you know, to represent us, but they are not for us, Pastor Pinckney. And when you say that my letter seats and the especially the mother and son, the Wayne seats, you know, you say we can't say Marcus Muhammad no more, but you know, he lost that title. But those people are the people that we have to identify, and that's what we're doing here in Louisiana, Pastor Pinckney. We identifying these Sambos.
Absolutely. And Belinda Parker Brown, you know that, let me say that you're doing a tremendous job. I mean, I take my hat off to you. The work that you are doing is so, so tremendous. See, people don't understand, you know, and you got haters. Don't think for one second you don't have no haters. These Sambos are everywhere. That's why I'm trying to get the Sambo Award in every single city that black folks is occupying, because they sit around here and want you to applaud them for selling out the future of your children. But listen, you go ahead and talk, because I want to make
sure. Well, you
sure
know,
that
I learned from the best, Pastor Pinckney. You was my, you know, you my mentor, and, you know, I soaked you up like a sponge, and, you know, when I did make the transition to come back home to Louisiana, you know, everything you taught me well, Pastor Pinckney, and I really love you and Dorothy and appreciate you all so much. You know, I thought about you the other day when I was at the courthouse, you know, here in St. Tammany, where we have been very successful in getting the lead district attorney indicted, the pedophile sheriff indicted, and the coroner indicted. The three most powerful people in your community is the ones that, you know, the coroner can determine whether or not you dead or alive. You know, the DA can charge you with whatever he want to charge you, and the sheriff can just lock you up and throw the key away. So all of them have been, you know, the sheriff is going to be spending the rest of his life in prison, you know, Pastor Pinckney, due to how you, you know, I watch you very closely. But when I was at the courthouse the other day, you know, I thought about you. It kind of, you know, you got to keep a sense of humor because this work that we do is so serious. And, you know, sometimes it can be, you know, cause families to suffer and families and to be destroyed. But when this one black investigator, you know, he was in there trying to railroad, literally lynch a young man in the courtroom. You know, if they're not shooting us down in the back, they're lynching us in these godforsaken hellhole courtrooms. And when I looked at him and saw what he was trying to do, and the young man just kept shaking his head and saying, you know, I'm not gonna lie for y'all. You know, give me what you gonna give me, but I'm not gonna take a plea. You know, I'm not gonna lie for y'all. But this detective was just badgering him and threatening him and just, you know, dragging him through the mud and just, you know, I can see that this young man was really getting upset to the point where he literally wanted to put his hands on this man. So I walked over there and I would do something like you would do. And I was like, first of all, I said, you know, I'm just fed up with these Sambos.
Yeah.
You know, our own people selling us out. And when I said that, you know, he kind of backed off a little bit. But guess what he did? He went and told his white boss, which is the a district attorney, that I called him a Sambo.
Freedom of speech, what are you going to do? But, you know,
It was kind of funny because the white boss, he came back out and he said out there, he said, can I speak to you for a minute, Miss Parker? He said, you know, I need you to do something for me. Now, I said, well, what is it? He said, you know, this is the only black guy I got on my investigating team, and, you know, he does a good job, and, you know, but he was really upset and offended when you called him a foul ball.
I love it, Belinda. I love it. That's what I'm talking about. And look, it's a funny thing.
Guess what he did, Pastor Pickney? He asked me to go and apologize to him. He asked me to go and apologize to him for calling him a Sambo. So guess what? Like the next day, I went to the courthouse and I saw him, right? And I kind of begged for him. I said, you know, I called him by his name and everything. I said, come here. I said, I need to speak with you real quick. And he was like, no, I don't want to talk to you. Pastor Pickney, I'm going to tell you, it was a terrible sight. I could see in his face that he know he had just got exposed. He had just got exposed by Belinda Parker Brown that put him on, and I need to start the Sambo list right now and put his name at the top of the list.
Right at the top. He deserves every minute of it, boy. And get these folks voting around there. Get them voting for them, man. All they do is send an email, vote, and just put their name on there. That's all they got to do. And I tell you, I never anticipated it would be like this. If you would have told me that all these people would be voting for the Sambo of the Year Award for these people, I was absolutely not. But I am so happy that it took off like it did, and I think next year gonna be even better. So I'm just getting myself together for next year. That's how you do, Belinda. You got to call these Sambos out. They know they Sambos. They know what they're doing. But most of the time,
we got a Sambo that is, he is the president of the NAACP, you know, statewide, you know, for the state of Louisiana. And, I think he would win the award for the year because I ain't never seen a Sambo worse than him, Pastor Pickney.
I can see that. Look. They're all over.
Yeah, and
everywhere.
He want to go around and brag and boast about him being the NAACP state president, but he didn't kick so many people under the bus. He didn't sold our people out so bad, Pastor Pickney. It's a crying shame. It's a crying shame what this man have done.
You know what? I believe
in the
that
name of the NAACP. It's a crying shame.
Yeah. Remember, we had the NAACP down here, and they came after the right person. They came after the right person this time. See, I'm surprised that people haven't learned from some of the stuff that we have done here because they.
Right.
We know
I remember when you had that burn the NAACP card. That went worldwide. That went where people was calling me from everywhere. You know, and they out in their backyard burning their cars.
Yeah. And I remember I would go in my garage and burn the car right on live right on TV. I mean on a Facebook and everything. I thought that was huge, you know. And but Reverend Barber was on the board of the NAACP at that time. And I ran into him in Detroit. I was one of the speakers. And they asked Reverend Barber, you know who Reverend? Yeah, I know who he is. I know who he is. I said, he was in Baltimore when I came out there and picked the headquarters.
I'm glad you shared that with me, Pastor Pickney, because you know that's you talking about with the Pro People's Campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Barber's with the Poor People Campaign.
That's who I'm talking about. That's exactly who I'm talking about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was on that board, and we sued him. We actually won, but they wouldn't give us no money. And then we supposed to be meeting with I can't think of the president at that time. He's supposed to be in contact, but he went on maternity leave with his wife or something like that. And then that's when they did pull a sneak attack on us. But you know, that's what you expect from a group of Sambos. And that's what they do. We didn't have the Sambo of the Year award back then. But I tell you, it would happen today. But the best part of picking in the NAACP in Baltimore at their headquarters or when the news people came out. And
yes, I remember that kind of thing.
Yeah, I believe Gloria, my friend from Philadelphia, was with us. And the newscaster came, and she said, this is a very sad day for the NAACP.
I remember that, and it was a bad, bad day for all of them. It made national news.
Right. Normally, the NAACP is picking it, but today they're being picked by Reverend Edward Pinckney, and it was all on the news and everything. That was the highlight, but that was good. But you know, Belinda,
they were being picked it against by Reverend Edward Pinckney.
the
picket expert. I remember them days. That was good, Pastor Pickney. It was about time for somebody to expose them and put them in the national news with the truth, the real truth. Yeah. They needed to picket it.
Absolutely, and you know what? One of the things that black people, we cry a lot. We can't do this. We can't. But some of this is done by black people, like that guy you got. But you can call the Sambo. We have to call them. Because, Marcus had a city hall meeting, and I don't know what somebody mentioned that, Reverend Pinckney got y'all down for the Sambo of the Year Award. And they got mad. And they comment, Reverend Pinckney, he got us down. Somebody said, yeah. He got y'all. He got y'all just where y'all should.
That's right. And you know, I had talked to Ron Singleton. I can't remember, but he was like, I say, are you, how close are you to winning the Sambo of the Year Award?
He started
laughing himself.
Yeah. Yeah,
I say, I just want to let you know. I say, I hope my letter beat you.
Absolutely, And you know what? And I love it being circulated around the community. And, you know what we're dealing with. These people, you know, they just don't get it. You know, they would rather see people die from the water contamination than for a black person to go out. They wanted somebody white to do what I did. You know, white folks is not going to save you. if they see you drowning or you in quicksand, they are not going to throw you a rope. I'm not going to say all of them is like that, but most of them down here is like that. You see,
what we got to understand about white folks, Pastor Pickney, there's some good ones out there, but the good ones that have to fall into the category of taking responsibility for what they ancestors did in the past. And see, a lot of them are struggling with taking responsibility and taking ownership and owning up to the fact that they will never, ever be on the same playing field as a black person, knowing that their ancestors did all of this wicked, evil stuff in the past. So what they have to do is stop trying to be the face of a black movement. They can't be the face of a black movement. No. And what they have to realize that they do have a role to play if they own up to the responsibility of what their ancestors did to us in the past. You know, so, you know, in that way they would have a sincere heart in really helping to change and make things better for all people. But if they just want to ignore the fact and talk about, you know, like when you hear a white person say, "I don't see color," you know, that means that you're the most racist white person in the world when you say stuff like that, because you just, you know, it's a part of your DNA. If you don't see color, then what is you, colorblind? I mean, you, what, color invisible? You know, because God made color. You know, the problem, the reason why you say that is because you don't want to see a black person doing stuff that you know, doing stuff better than you. You know, that's what they don't want to see, Pastor Pickney. Right. And when they say they don't see color, you know, then, right, you know, what about all the red, white, and blue, and the green, and the yellow, and the sky, and the grass, and all of that? So, you know, everything is not the same color in this world. God made color for a reason. That's why black people have to be accepted. You got to accept us just like we deserve the same respect of any other race or nationality. So if you don't see my color, then I got a problem, because you need to see my color. You need to see me as a black person in America, because I'm going to see you as a white person, and I see you as a white person, and I'm not going to deny that fact.
Amen. Amen. That is a true statement, and you're absolutely correct. You hit the nail right on the head when you said that, because when you don't see color, then what do you see? You know?
Right.
You know, what do you see then? You know, well, you need to explain to us what you see, because it's obvious there's a problem there. And our
right.
job is to make sure that we identify the problem. See, one thing they got in their mind, I got this group of people that all of them are white. I'm the only black in the group. And in order for them to continue to really deal, you almost have to put them, you know, if you need them, on a pedestal and give them the impression that they're smarter than you, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor
Pickney, that is so right, you know.
Right.
That is so right, because I got white people working for me. And, and they're good people, they got a good heart. But one thing that you definitely got to watch out for, they always is something make their skin crawl when they can see that you're smarter than them. That really bothers them, you know. And then they always want that takeover spirit. They want to come in and take credit for, you know, what the black persons or what the black people are doing. You know, they want to put their name on it. They want to make it look like that, you know, it was their ideal. You know, when they could not, you know, accomplish and do. Now, don't get me wrong. They're smart. They got a role to play in certain things that they can do better than us. But when they see us doing something better than them, oh, my God, that really bothers them.
And remember this, everybody can do something. See, this is my thing. I might be better at this than you. You might be better than that as I am. But if we put it all together, we can become a force. You see, that's how I look at it. Because I don't know everything. You don't know everything. But if we put our heads together, we become a force, you see. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be, Belinda Parker Brown. But look, Belinda, I got to let you go. You got about a minute or two to talk. I got to bring my good friend Annette. But this is a beautiful conversation. I love it. And let's do what we have to do and make this thing now. Go ahead and talk to me.
I want you to go ahead and talk to Annette because that queen is on fire. And, I'm really excited about, what she holding our governor here in the state of Louisiana. You know, she's holding him, to the fire. And, and she is lighting him up real well because it's a lot going on in Louisiana. And that's the reason why, Pastor Pinckney, I really appreciate this opportunity. I want people to go, to my website at www.launitedi.org. That's launitedi.org. And join up with us. Read about the great work that we're doing. Support us. And we really appreciate every little bit helps. Thank you so much, Pastor Pinckney.
All right. That was my good friend Belinda Parker Brown. And don't forget to get your vote in for the Sample of the Year Award. We have Mayor Marcus. He don't know what his name is, but we just call him Mayor Marcus Singer for now. And we have his sidekick, Dwayne Seats. He's a commissioner also, the man with blood all over his hands. And then we have Ryan Singer, the one who actually stole a whole radio station from the Kelly family and also stealing money from the city of Benton Harbor, retiring. When he retired, he was a corporal, and now he's getting lieutenant pay for some reason when he should not be getting it, even though he had raided or helped raid the pension fund. Actually, the chief signed the work career on that. But anyway, then we have my letter seats, the mother of the Wayne seats. Make sure y'all give her some love this week because we're closing out. We only have three more weeks of voting, so make sure you give them. Then we have Judge Mayfield, the baby snatcher. Make sure that we give them and Chief Daniel McGinnis. So don't forget to get your votes in. Take care of your business, and let me bring in my good friend, the one and only Annette. Annette, talk to me.
All right. And I, again, like my sister, my queen, Sister Belinda Parker Brown, I can never stress enough, like I say, when we are in this struggle, we need words of encouragement. We need to come together. But Pastor, I just want to let everybody know, first of all, we are in election season, and, we have always been brainwashed in voting. We need to renew our mind. I mean, we have more black elected officials in this country today than we ever had in the history of this country, and I think that we are worse off than the slaves. And it's getting to be where it is so horrific. These are some of just the top headlines from the last past week. The L.A. County chair, the Latinos, how they were talking about the blacks and they being monkeys. And, again, I mean, this is so ludicrous what is going on. There is such an attack. We had an elected official in Las Vegas who murdered a journalist because he exposed the crime and corruption. And, again, The Pandora Papers. The Pandora Papers exposed the billionaires and the world's elites, and along with over 330 politicians, again, who have made the United States the number one safe haven for actually hiding and stealing money. We have the Georgia Senate debate between Walker and Warnock. Now, again, when I looked at the debate, if I was just scoring points, and I've actually wanted to hear what we in our community have said about the debate, but I'm just looking at what it is that I see. how is it that you have a seasoned pastor who on a weekly basis is giving presentation, and then you have, again, the ugliness of the history of Walker, and, I mean, he came in and gave a great debate, and he brought up some issues. Okay, he brought up some issues with Warnock that had not been in the rest of the newspapers. Now, they said that they were in the newspapers, I guess, in Atlanta, and I'm down in Columbus a couple hours away, and he threw some things out that, again, that had not been exposed. So I can never stress enough all of these potential candidates and Sam Bowles and what's going on. The system itself, you can have some of the nicest people in the world and say, I want to get in the game. And I'm going to tell you, you got them against them. Oh, who's going to win? The establishment. But who's going to be? It's the 1%. And we're the 99%. I got a problem with 1% controlling 99. That's what we got to do. We got to be game changers. And the way we change this game, tonight on 60 Minutes, we're going to have our brother who's showcasing the HBCUs, and, of course, with our brother that called in and said he's sending the letters to the HBCU as a direct descendant, of Wild Wild West Davis, who stepped up to the plate, and some of the original founders of Grambling State University. I want to take on that challenge, and we're going to renew our minds and reinvent ourselves and reinvent our HBCUs. Now through the NCAA, we can actually take any organization that's on campus, sports, athlete. If you got a member or a family member or friend that go to any of these HBCUs, let's start our own businesses and start creating our own merchandise, buying FUBU for us, by us. So when we start actually doing some of these kind of invented things, having our own, everybody have a business. Everybody have a business. We do business with each other business. We want to teach you, and we only do business with businesses that are doing business with our business. So on McDonald Monday, here we go again. Don't go to no fast foods, whatever you do. And put it into your church bulletin. Go on Facebook, contact every black church, have them to put it in their Facebook bulletin. McDonald Monday, no fast foods. Ticket Tuesday, no gambling. And, of course, whatever you do, no lottery tickets. Wednesday, Walmart Wednesday. Please, everybody, let's stick together. We are really making a difference. Thursday, do not buy no gallon of gas. Do not buy no alcohol. If you have to carpool, look at what they did down there with Rosa Parks. They walked, they carpooled, they did whatever they had to do, but they didn't get on that bus, and the bus, they broke it down. So, again, foreign Friday. This is super. This is huge. Only go to Black Only, OWN. Find a black-owned business, wherever it may be. And we're going to have to do a better job with our chambers and making sure that we're having strip malls so everything you see is nothing but black-owned. And we can go to one spot rather than having to drive all over town trying to seek it out, trying to go. No, we need to have, just like these other communities, we need to have our own, for we know if we're going there, we're putting our dollars back in our community and circulating them numerous times before they come back out. And again, everybody, get your paper and pen and call Governor Bell Edwards at *67-225-342-0991. Again, *67-225-342-0991. Tell them you calling about you blowing the whistle on Reverend Victor, and along with the Davis Brothers Lumber Company, we got fraud. So, again, we want everybody in this week assignment now. This week assignment is to contact every Facebook black church and HBCU. Make sure they understand our plan that we are moving forward. And, again, the $50 trillion is sitting here. Please go on YouTube with James Henry, James S. Henry, $50 trillion, $50 trillion hidden offshore Pandora Papers. So thank you so much for this opportunity. Please watch Deion Sanders tonight on 60 Minutes. Please let everybody, everybody get in on One Accord. Invest in our HBCUs. The NFL has turned their back on us. They actually did Colin Kaepernick like that because they wanted to let him know how you're going to come up against us. When we want to show them, you are nothing without us, and that is our game that you stole from us. The NFL is our very own Coach Eddie Robinson vision, and this is what he drove this particular, and the Hot family. Right now I'm looking at Kansas City Chiefs. When you Google Davis Brothers, you're going to see Hot family at the top because our company was discovered in their possession. It's been hidden. Mm-hmm. Even if we would have looked, we never would have been able to find it. So, again, we thank you for this opportunity. We need everybody to come on board, and that's your assignment for this week. It's Kyle Bell Edwards and your Facebook, Every Church. Thank you.
All right, and that's beautiful. And those of you who are still listening, don't forget the show tomorrow. Annette, I want you to come on tomorrow and speak a little bit too because I got a couple of special guests that's going to be on tomorrow. But come on tomorrow, say a few words, and we'll take it from there. And on that note,
thank you
unfortunately,
so much.
We have just run out of time. All right. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.